What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 58. We are Gospel Rappers for October 23rd, 2013. We're going to start off real quick with a little warm-up, and then we'll make sure we introduce everybody. Let's go with breakfast. This morning for breakfast, I had a little biscuit, egg sandwich, some chocolate milk. Lorena?
Pancakes.
I had a sausage and cheese kolache.
That sounds good.
And a jalapeno sausage and cheese kolache. And then I had the apple juice.
All right, good job. Ale?
So good.
Some pancakes. Brie?
Nothing.
All right, Sulema?
I just had a granola bar.
That's right.
And some orange juice.
And some orange juice?
Yeah.
Not bad. Marlon, do you have anything to eat? No? All right, Diane, what'd you have for breakfast?
Spinach and egg muffins and some dragon fruit green tea.
Dragon fruit green tea.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Really?
The tea?
Yeah.
The dragon fruit? What it tastes like, dragon?
It's... No, it's kind of a fruity tea. It's kind of strawberry, like kind of fruit, like, and then mixed in with green tea.
Oh, okay.
That sounds good.
I had a donut and chocolate for breakfast.
All right. Better than nothing.
Okay, I have a lot on my list. Okay, this morning I had cereal, and then I had got McDonald's. I had got the sausage and biscuit with hash brown, and I had a caramel mocha iced coffee, and what else did I have? Oh, that's it. I'm pretty full.
That sounds good. Edith?
I had cereal.
Cereal?
I had nothing.
Nothing?
I hate cereal.
Jocelyn?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Did you have breakfast?
Just orange juice.
That's better than juice. Nothing. Better than nothing. But George? Did you breakfast?
Maybe.
Nothing? Dang it, George. All right, there's some milk. Your milk's still in the fridge. You can go get it. All right, Ms. DeLello, what did you have for breakfast?
I had some eggs. That's about it.
That's all right. All right, so that's just a quick warm-up to kind of make sure everybody's mic's working, headphones working, and then just kind of see what we're eating for breakfast, making sure we're getting a healthy start. So, of course, I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. Sitting right next to me is...
Lorena.
Alex.
Alejandra. Brianna. Sulema.
Marlon should be creating the transcript, which is kind of difficult to do, but she's good. So then we have Ms. Shore.
Marissa.
Aisha.
Edith. Michelle.
Then we have a couple other students doing other jobs. Quickly, we're going to be talking with Diane Shore and Renata DeLello. Both of them went with CSMA, or Christian Sports Medicine Alliance. And if you want to follow CSMA on Twitter, you can look at Tweet CSMA. So it's at Tweet CSMA to follow CSMA on Twitter. Real quick about Renata, up in Denton High School, up around the Dallas area, correct?
Yes, sir.
Ninth year?
Yes.
All right. And then Diane Shore is not just the athletic trainer, but the health coordinator at St. Pius High School. So she's pretty much, if anybody, any employee, any... student, anything at their school is sick or is injured, then Diane is the go-to person there, correct?
Correct.
And then also recently, since the last time we talked, the director of discipleship for CSMA.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And you've been in the profession for about 7 years. So, without much further ado.
Let's start with Ms. Shore. Tell us about your day job.
Well, he just pretty much described it. Pretty much it changes daily because I never know what's going to happen, but I handle all the paperwork that has anything to do with anything medical in my school and take care of anybody's injuries. We have stagecraft, which surprisingly results in a lot of injuries with drills and power tools. Why they thought high school students should have those, I'm never quite sure. And then, like, athletically, I'm the only athletic trainer at my school, so... I'm usually running between 3 fields and a gym at any given time. So, yeah.
All right. And what about you, Ms. DeLello? Tell us about your day job.
My day job usually starts about 6 in the morning. I have athletics first block, and then I teach anatomy and physiology and AP biology both days. And then I have athletic coverage after school until whenever everything's done. So that's pretty much it.
All right, so I'm not sure if you follow Memorial Hermann Houston at all, Renata, but they just did a live ACL surgery with Dr. Walter Lowe, the doctor for the Houston Texans. And so it may be something you want to look up because they just did the ACL. It was this morning, so it's probably over by now, but it was the ACL surgery, and they kind of talked through what they were doing and showed all the scope views and stuff like that. So it may be really cool for your anatomy class to see that.
Yeah, because that's pretty much what we're doing right now. Like, that's what we're looking at.
So, I think they had a Twitter feed going through the surgery, too, if I remember correctly. Yeah. So you might be able to look that up as well.
They're Houston Hospital. So if you – it's at Houston Hospital's Memorial Hermann. So if you look that up, then you can probably find all the links, the pictures, and then the YouTube videos from Dr. Lowe doing that. So.
Dr. Lowe. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Ms. Delalo, tell us about your summer vacation.
My summer vacation? Like, do you want to know about my mission trip or just regular summer? I was busy all summer.
Tell us about
which one?
Tell us about the mission trip.
My mission trip, I actually went to the Dominican Republic this year, and I was there the second week in June from about the 11th to the 17th, and I got to see a couple of orphanages. I got to see an all-girls orphanage, and I got to see an all-boys orphanage, and then we pretty much just loved on the children of each of the villages and played soccer with them, and I actually went with CMSA through SCORE International, and we hooked up with FCA, and I traveled with the FCA girls soccer team out of Georgia, and I just kind of took care of them as they played national teams and junior Olympic teams, and when they were hosting clinics at each of the little villages, I kind of just played with the kids because I don't really play soccer, so I played with all the little kids that didn't play soccer, so it was pretty good times.
All right, so I was distracted there for a second. Did you say there was two trips? Because you said you went to the Dominican and visited orphanages, and then you said something about girls' soccer team. Was that two separate things, or that
was it? It was the same thing. So when I went to the Dominican, I was just kind of there to help with whatever they needed me to help with. So once I got there, they let me travel with the FCA girls soccer team out of Georgia. And so it was the same trip. There was just several different groups there, and I got to travel with them specifically. And their specific mission was to love on the kids and to play soccer with all the kids. So same trip, just different aspects of the trip.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Ms. Shore, tell us about your summer vacation.
My summer vacation was I pretty much spent the whole time in Ukraine. I left the day after we got out of school, and was there for 7.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically I was working with the first part of my trip. I was with Sports Quest, and they were hosting a soccer camp in the city that they work in. And so all day we did soccer with the little kids, and I was there providing medical coverage and just playing with the kids. And I spent a lot of time practicing English with them. So a lot of them know just a little bit, but they never have anyone to practice with and have never had like an actual English speaking person.
What language do they speak?
Either Russian or Ukrainian. Sometimes both. Most of the time in Eastern Europe or in Eastern Ukraine, where I was the first part, mostly Russian. Western Ukraine, a lot more of them speak Ukrainian. So, so we did that all day. The camp staff went to the church and kind of hung out and did dinner, kind of, and then with the pastor and his family. And then we went back to the soccer field, and they had an adult tournament throughout the week and a half that we did that camp. And so that was long days, but it was lots of fun. And then I had a couple days off. One of our other CSMA staff members came over from after she finished her trip in another part of Europe. And she came over. We picked her up. We actually went to a Jeremy Camp concert in Kyiv.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And then we went to the other side of Ukraine and worked with FCA Ukraine providing coverage for their camps as well, and did a couple like open injury clinics just for different athletes in town, athletes that they work with or compete against. And so did that. And then actually went on vacation for a couple weeks. We went down to Crimea, my fiance and I, and spent about 2 weeks on the beach down there hanging out. And then we went back to the first town I was in and did some more injury clinics, did some first aid training for some coaches, and just kind of hung out for a while. So it was, the second half of my trip was kind of relaxed. And
did you play in any of the tournaments, the adult tournaments?
I didn't, because they're all guys. I tried. They kind of looked at me and were like, you're a girl. So it didn't work out so well.
What kind of sports are those usually?
Soccer.
Soccer?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Do they play anything else, like basketball, football, baseball?
In Shaska, not. I mean, I guess some people maybe, but I've never seen them. All I know is soccer, but my fiance is a soccer player, so that's kind of the community that I'm in there. In Rivne, in the other side of the country, with FCA, they play a lot of different sports. They're big basketball, rugby, baseball, softball, lacrosse. So yeah.
All right, so when you said FCA Ukraine, is that, that's an organization that stays there, right? It's not
correct,
it's not an organization from here that goes there during the summers or anything,
right? No, they actually have full-time FCA staff in Ukraine. I think it's the only, or one of the only, I know they're starting to go more internationally full-time, but I think it was the first full-time international, but I could be wrong on that.
That's all right. I'm not going to look it up, so nobody will know.
Ms. DeLillo, do you have plans for this summer yet?
Right now I'm doing more, I'm probably going to do more of a personal vacation. So I'm thinking about going and staying a month in Italy. Just as a...
Can I go?
Okay, come on. As long as you can pay your own way, come on. So I'm going to do that. And then me and one of another girl with CSMA are looking at doing a trip through ISF, going to Kenya next, about Christmas time. So hopefully I'll be able to do that. But as far as next summer, it'll probably be spending a lot of the summer in Italy and just kind of backpacking through Italy and Switzerland and wherever else I can travel by train.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so
yeah.
Fun. What about you, Ms. Shore? Do you have any plans for the summer yet?
You know, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do traveling wise. There's a couple different things, on the horizon. There's a couple different trips I've been asked to go on, missionally. And then, but also like, I kind of want a down summer, and like, we're going to be newly married, and so we just kind of want to have, like, some, like, relaxed time. Yeah.
So it's going to happen? He has his citizenship or passport and all that?
Yeah. He is interviewing for his visa the beginning of November, so hopefully he'll be here by the end of November. So, yeah. Well, so, and that's the other thing. Thanks. Is that we don't know if he'll be able to travel out of the country again or not, just because of visa stuff, so...
Y'all are getting married in the summer?
No, we're getting married probably in December.
Oh.
Yeah, she's an interesting situation. She met her fiance on one of her first trip.
Uh-huh. My first trip to Ukraine, yeah.
So they've had a Skype courtship.
Like, no.
It's so cute.
Over a year ago.
Yeah.
And so then my husband is there. Then she couldn't get
I'm gonna go cry.
She couldn't get married because her fiance couldn't get into the US. Right. So until he got his papers, they couldn't set a date or anything like that, so it's a pretty interesting situation. Yeah. So I'm glad it's so working out for you.
Yeah. Was it like love at first sight?
Pretty much, yeah. We were coaching at a camp together, and he ended up being my translator because the other American who was supposed to be my translator kept forgetting. And so we just spent a lot of time together and just kind of hit it off. So
oh, that's so cute.
It's cute.
Thanks.
All right, so Renato, why Italy?
I wanted to go there probably about 8 years ago, and I had everything set up to go, and then my plans just kind of fell through. And I've always wanted to go, so I thought this would be a perfect time to go, because this summer really wasn't shaping up for me to do anything, and that I was okay with that. So, and then my best friend that I'm going with, her cousin is stationed there through the Marines, and this will be his last year there, so we wanted to go now so that he can kind of show us around too. So it's kind of a double bonus.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, it's always best to have somebody. We had a friend that was in the Navy, but he was stationed in Hawaii, so we wanted to go. We couldn't afford to go to Hawaii because,
yeah,
you know, he could show us around, or we could even stay at his apartment or something, but it just never happened.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping to do. We're hoping to at least stay with him for maybe a week if they'll have us. Who knows? And then the rest of the time, just kind of staying wherever we can. I'm trying to talk the people I'm traveling with to stay in some hostels just because it'll be cheaper, and they're not really buying that.
No.
Just yet, no.
Some of them are pretty nice. There's a website you can look at that totally has a list of hostels that are anywhere from 1-star to 5-star.
What? And,
yeah.
Okay.
I'll see if I can find that link and send it to you.
Sweet. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, it's awesome. Not like in the movies. Obviously, Hollywood makes it out to be a whole lot worse than it is. So,
for sure.
It's actually really common in Europe and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I stayed in one, not this past summer, but the summer before, through when I went to Panama with CSMA, and it was awesome. I mean, we didn't really have anything but a bed and a shower, and really that's all I needed. So anything better than that would just be extra. So
very cool. All right.
Maybe.
Ms. Delalo, did you teach anything on your trip?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Did you teach anyone anything on your trip?
I taught two little boys how to wrap the blisters on their toes. And they loved me for that, which I thought was silly, but they had these blisters that were kind of festering for a while, the guy of this village said. And so I kind of just gave them some Band-Aids and some gauze and some Power Flex. And I taught them how to do their own. And then I taught them how to do their friends. So then this way, if any of their friends were needing that, then they can do that as well. But really, it was just, we painted nails at the girls' orphanage, and we played with the boys at the boys' orphanage. And it was, there wasn't anything specifically planned except for the FCA girls soccer team to like run sports clinics. And I've only ever watched soccer, so I couldn't teach anything soccer related, but I would hold the babies and play with the kids. And to me, that was so much fun. So yeah, it's pretty much all I did.
So you said did they not have shoes?
No, not so much. The older people of the villages that we were at, of the orphanages, they had shoes, like sandals and whatnot. But the kids, as soon as they came home from school or wherever they were, they'd take off their shoes, take off their socks, and just play. So I imagine it was just more comfortable for them, because that's just kind of how they grew up, without shoes and not needing to wear shoes and all that stuff. So they just didn't. And so during drier seasons, they have feet that are more cracked and more dry and those kind of things, and that's kind of where we were. So so they didn't really wear any shoes. They're okay with it. So
all right. I didn't know, because I know, were you in last year, where you went to a village to village on a canoe?
Yes, that was me when I went to Panama. Yes.
And we all,
and they did not wear shoes there either.
And did you say last year you were working in, like, an actual dump? Or was that Chennai?
I think that might have been Chennai.
Okay, I couldn't not remember.
Yeah. No, I didn't go to the dump.
Gotcha. And that's not the furniture store here in Houston. It's the actual garbage place. So last summer, I know Renata went to, or Miss Delalo went to Panama. And like you see on National Geographic, they riding a canoe from village to village, and then teaching medicine stuff, right?
Yes. Yes, we taught medicine stuff last year, and we also taught the story of Noah's Ark. So, and that was, it was weird because it was exactly like you see on National Geographic Channel, and I was not expecting that, but it made the trip a little bit more exciting just because, one, I'd never been in a canoe. So that was awesome.
And then by the other one, it's people were walking around without clothes, right?
Right. Yes. They had like maybe little scarves on all the areas that needed to be covered, but that was it. Unless they were, if they were at school, they had on like their little uniform with white shirt, pants, and shoes. And then as soon as they went home, they would strip and put on their little loincloth and then go from there. And then that was it. So it was a little bizarre at first, but you quickly got used to it because it was just normal and it wasn't a big deal.
Ms. Shore, did you teach anything on your trip?
I think the biggest thing I did was I taught people how to foam roll. A lot of the guys that I know in the different sports over there always complaining to me, and I get emails all year long from them about how to fix a tight muscle or a sore muscle or some pain that they're having. So I took a couple foam rollers over there and taught them how to go to town on those. And then other than that, we did like some baseball rotator cuff strengthening programs because a lot of the pitchers that we were working with were having some issues and just some weakness. And so I took a lot of TheraBands and TheraTubing, and so they could kind of figure out how to strengthen shoulders to be better. So,
all right. So yeah. The foam rollers, I know if you've been in the training room, you've probably seen somebody using, there's the black and the white, the big roll of foam where they use to stretch out their body.
Yeah,
or I have the two tennis balls that are kind of taped together. Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing there. Yeah. So with that, you said you took them over there. Are those things, I mean, that's easy for us to get right here. I can call, you know, my man in Medco or Alert Service or any of that stuff, and, you know, they'll get that over to me. Is that not something that they have or have access to?
No. I've never seen them there, and I've done a lot of shopping over there. Haven't ever seen them. No.
TheraBand as well?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure, like, maybe if you went to some of the medical supply places, maybe, but they'd be really expensive. So, yeah.
I mean, because they sell them at Academy or Sports Authority here.
Right. I mean, I think they even sell them at Target.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. No, I mean, my friends over there, it's crazy because the cost of everything there is pretty much equivalent to what you would pay here, but their salary is about an eighth of what a normal salary is here. So it's just crazy expensive, whatever you get. The quality is not as good. I have friends that ask me to bring them socks every time I come just because our socks are so much better than what they can get. So it's kind of hit or miss, but yeah. Huh.
Wow. Just things you don't even think about. All right. So, Ms. DeLello, same question about what are the supplies over there look like? I know you said mostly you're loving on the kids, not necessarily teaching sports camps, but just in your experience with Panama, what are the supplies like over there?
Minimal, if anything. Like we would take hygiene stuff, and with the Dominican specifically, there wasn't anything to take besides like a trainer kit, and then we took some braces because in the Dominican, there's a doctor that will be over there probably within the next couple of years, and we're trying to build a sports medicine facility out there. And he's going full-time. He's an orthopedic surgeon who's going full-time in the Dominican. And hopefully it'll be more of an outreach because the Dominican, their main sport is baseball. And they play very little other sports. So we're hoping to start doing, like Diane said, rotator cuff strengthening out there and stuff like that. And so I'm looking into trying to see how we can get like ice machines, because they don't even have ice machines. So if somebody gets hurt or injured, you know, helping the kids or whatnot, there's no ice. Ice is a luxury out there. And as far as like their tubing and whatnot, some of the missionaries there are like, hey, will you send the stuff to us? But what is hard is that customs very rarely lets any of those things through if you're just mailing it. So to get it there, to get the supplies there is tedious, to say the least. And so they don't have those things at all. Like me taping that little boy's toe and his blisters was just he'd never seen those things, and he just wanted to play with the Power Flex. So it was kind of, it was funny, but he'd never seen it. So I was like, here, here's a roll. And him and his friends were, they ended up playing baseball with it. They used it as the ball because it was kind of bouncy, but hey, whatever. So supplies over there are very, very few, if anything. So it's pretty sparse.
I have a friend that lives in an Asian country, and he said it's kind of the same thing. If we were to mail them stuff, then it might or might not get to them because there's a lot of like theft within the delivery system, you know, and then the customs and, you know, pirates and that kind of stuff. And yes, there's really pirates. And so, like, I understand, you know, you basically have to, if somebody's coming over, they have to bring two suitcases, one with just stuff for them and the other one is for theirs.
Yes, when I went to the Dominican, I took a 45-gallon, like one of those big Rubbermaid tubs, and I had it packed full with whatever supplies that we could get over there. And I think they, to get through customs, they checked it at least four times, and they pretty much just unloaded everything and loaded everything back. And they were trying to keep all my scissors, and I was like, no, that's for that's medical supplies and whatnot. And they didn't really understand what we were going to use the scissors for. And so at least four times I had to re-explain almost everything that was in this little tub or this huge tub to each of the customs agents that were looking at my stuff. And I was like, oh, great. So
how good is your Spanish?
I understand a lot more than I speak. I can speak some. I can speak enough to get out of trouble. But I understand a lot more. So I knew what they were saying to me. I just couldn't verbalize what I was trying to say. And I went with another girl to the Dominican who spoke Spanish. So I kind of just stayed really close to her side the whole time. At least when we were going through things like that, like with security and whatnot, because I didn't want to get stuck anywhere.
Gotcha. So, very fun.
Ms. Lalo, how has this experience changed your professional life?
It's really made me grateful for the kids that I do have. Like my students, I don't have any children personally, but my students that, like one of the villages, the all-girls village, Pasitos de Jesus, they started in a room that was probably an 8x10 room, so no bigger than most people's office. And they were all sleeping on top of each other, 33 people in this room. And they have four rooms or five rooms, and there's probably about 10 to 20 girls in each room. So it's just, it makes me very thankful for, one, the parents that I have, that as I wasn't a bad kid, but when I did cause trouble, you know, they didn't just throw me out of the house or, you know, do those things. And so it makes me grateful for that. And it just makes me hold my kids at school just a little bit closer. Because who knows what they're going through at home, and if they can come here, I can provide at least 8 hours of comfort and love. And so that's kind of how it has changed my view. Because the kids over there, they don't know you, but they want to hug you and they want to give you kisses and they want to hold on, and you know, they want to talk to you even though we don't speak the same language. And so it's just opened my eyes to just be, you know, extend more grace to the kids when they're coming in and they're having a bad day or, you know, whatever, so that we don't end up just yelling at each other. I can be more of an open ear to listen and just to say, hey, you know what? Things at home might be not okay, but you can always come to school and be a little bit better. So that's kind of how it's changed my thinking and my views on stuff.
33 kids in an 8x10 room.
Yeah, like when her name is Dalma, the lady that has opened this orphanage, and when she first opened it, she opened it, and really it was because she took in a girl with Down syndrome, and this girl with Down syndrome, her mom chained her up outside, so she grew up with the dogs, and this lady, Dalma, found her, and when her mom finally passed away from an accident, Dalma kind of just took her in, and she said, you know, this little girl's mine. And so it just started happening, and she would walk down the streets and there would be another little girl. So she just took that one in, and eventually she had 33 girls. And by the time SCORE International found her, there was 33 girls sleeping in an 8x10 house, and she was trying to feed, clothe, and get them all to school. And right now they live in this this little compound. That's what it kind of looks like, because it's gated. It has barbed wire, and SCORE, you know, provides the security for them. And it's bigger, and I think they just got SCORE has raised enough money. And there's, I can't even think now that I'm talking about it, somebody has matched all that money, so they're about to build on to this compound so that they can accept more girls and hire more workers. So it's pretty amazing. That place, at the end of the day, after we were painting fingernails and whatnot, at the end of the day, they sang us a song, and they sang part of it in English and part of it in Spanish. And it was, there was not a dry eye, you know, under that pavilion after the girls were done singing. And you can tell it's, you know, it's different when, you know, you're just singing in your car versus when someone really feels what they're singing, they understand what they're singing. And so we were all in tears. But she has a pretty good setup going. So it's really nice. All the little girls have their own jobs. So each of them are in charge of growing like different vegetables in the gardens and whatnot if they're not at school. So it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
And how about you, Ms. Shore? How has this experience changed your professional life?
I think the biggest thing for me, kind of as she said, was just grace. You know, realizing that even though I might not have the best facility or the best training room or the equipment that I want or the equipment that other people have, like realizing that and we here in general are just so blessed with everything that we do have, and being grateful for that. And you know, not only for me, but also to pass that on to my students, both my athletes, my athletic training students, you know, like just to realize how much we really do have and how different it is in other parts of the country and in other parts of the world, and, you know, and how to be happy with what we have. Because I think that's the biggest thing for me, is that everywhere else that I've gone, on every mission trip that I've been on, the people are just happy. Mm-hmm. They're not always, oh, well, I don't have this, and so I'm sad, or throwing temper tantrums because they didn't get their way, or whatever. You know, like, they see you, and they have a smile on their face. And so that really inspired me to kind of be that person. Because with as much as them being that way towards me changed me, like, I want to be that light for the people that I contact with. And so I try to, you know, always be grateful and be thankful and try to find a positive thing. My kids make fun of me all the time because I always come up with a, well, it could be this, so be grateful, be happy, you know. So, yeah.
We went to an awards banquet last night for the Mission Centers of Houston, which is here in our own city. And my wife volunteers there, and she goes to the nursery while they teach ladies that speak only Spanish. They're teaching them English. And so just going to that banquet even is, you know, some people give 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 700 hours a year volunteering to help these people that are kind of in the same situation here in our own city. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't even have to be you know, a different country. It doesn't have to be Panama or Dominican or Ukraine to see some of this stuff. It's not probably not to the same extent here, but, you know, here in Houston we still have the same thing, and it's just so easy for me to forget that because I live here in a house, I drive through a neighborhood to get to work, you know, or even I get to ride my bike, or I can drive my truck. I get to pick which one I want. And it's just, I really look forward to where I can get to a point where I can go on one of those trips so I can, you know, be part of that and remember how blessed I am here. And so, I'm glad I get to talk to you guys. It encourages me.
You let us know when you're ready, and
we'll get you signed up on a trip.
Yes. It definitely makes you more grateful for being here. And it kind of, like you said, you know, there's so much need in our areas that to me, it opens up my eyes too more, mm-hmm. on how can I help, even just within my own community, like within my school building, you know, what are the needs there? And I'm less, not even shy, I wouldn't say I'm a shy person, but I'm less shy to ask, to, hey, you know, how can I help? What do you need? You know, and if they say nothing, fine, they say nothing. But, you know, just to open that door, that if they did need something, they could ask. Mm-hmm. So.
I know last time when we talked to Diane, I had asked a question about, you know, how can you pray with students or whatever like that. You know, I know it's a little different because you're in a private school setting. But one of the things that I've actually done, and I think I've done it with all these students, you know, is there something that you need me to pray for so I can ask them over email or text? And, you know, instead of kind of putting them on the spot right there or doing it where it's in front of everybody, Even something like that for me works. And so just offering that, and if they say no, that's fine. If they say yes, then that's fine too. But that's something I learned from the last time we talked.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is...
Renata, can you turn your speakers down a little bit? I think that's... Yeah, I think it's catching...
How's that?
Better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I think that's better.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, I know like you guys asked like what you can do like in a public school and you know, that's the biggest thing is just say, how can I pray for you? It leaves it open for them. They can tell you, they can say, I'm good. You know, they can say, I don't want you to, but 90% of the time, or probably more than that, they're going to tell you something, whether it be, I have a test next period, whether it be, you know, something going on at home, like just making yourself available for them is awesome. And that kind of sets you apart and they know, and then they end up feeling more comfortable with you.
Mm-hmm. You have the same experience, Renata?
Yeah. I kind of leave it open to my students. They kind of know where I stand because I tell them about my summers and, you know, why I go on those trips and, you know, what they mean to me. So, they know where I stand in my faith as far as that. So I've asked several students, or I've even had several students just approach me and say, hey, you know, I'm really having a tough time at home. Can you just keep me and my family in your prayers or whatnot? And I'm like, yeah, definitely. So, so it's just a little more difficult. There's a way. The students will know, and if they know where you stand, then it's kind of, they're not going to be afraid to approach you. So. Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we have just a few more questions, and then these guys are going to have to go. You don't have to leave to go to class or anything, do you, Renata?
I have class at 11:20.
Okay. Now we'll be done in probably 10 minutes here. So.
Okay.
All right, where are we?
Ms. Shore, tell us about the people you served.
The people I served were Ukrainian. mostly boys for most of my summer because the girls over there tend to not be quite as athletic. Or the boys just don't let them play, and it's been that way for so long that the girls just don't try anymore. I'm not really sure. But most of them were kids, but anywhere from 4 and 5 year olds up through college age. And then of course the adult tournament, they were older. There was some 40, 50 year old guys out there playing. So most of them were, I would say probably around college age or younger. The camps were younger. The camps were all, well, I think they were supposed to be like 5 to 18, but of course, there's always, like, the little brother or little sister that end up coming and hanging out, too. So, yeah.
And so, quickly, you talked about teaching the kids or practicing their English with them.
Mm-hmm.
And what language were they speaking to you?
I call it Ukringlish. So it's funny, and I tell all of them all the time, and my other friends who are American and, like, other people that are on mission trips over there, they're they have a little bit of English knowledge. A lot of them, most of them learned a little bit of English in school. But it's hard to understand their Ukrainian English into regular English. So I told my friends, I was like, I got really good at translating Ukrainian to English. I'm also trying to learn Russian. So they were helping me out with that. We would kind of point to different stuff and they would tell me the Russian word and I would tell them the English word. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of a learning experience on both ends. I definitely learn as much from them as they do from me, if not more.
Yeah. Ukrainglish. We're going to have to. It's going to become a dictionary word. Started here.
What about you, Ms. Delalo? Tell us about the people you served.
The people I served were mostly when the FCA soccer girls were playing games, a lot of it was with the girls in the university. So like at the college level, seniors in high school kind of. And after every soccer game, one of the FCA soccer girls would give their testimony and someone would be there to translate it. So we saw probably two or three of those soccer girls because we played this one team twice. And in the two times that we saw them, they got to hear two different testimonies. And I think three of the girls there, you know, wanted to accept Jesus as their, you know, savior. And so that was pretty awesome. And then when we were in the villages, most of the kids were probably about middle school age and younger. Probably first or second grade was the youngest kids that would come out to play soccer with us and whatnot. And then we actually got to talk to there was one lady in one of the villages that they call Craig's Village. And her mother-in-law is the witch of the village. And she accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior probably last year, I believe. And so we got to just kind of see that dynamic and ask her questions. And she invited us into her home. And it was amazing because the home was so little, but it had everything in it. And so the people there, most of them spoke Spanish. Craig told us, they kind of take English words and mix them with Spanish words, and now you have a whole new word, like most cereal, like cereal you eat in the morning, is called cornflakes, regardless of the flavor or the brand or whatever. It's all cornflakes. And their T-shirts, I don't even know what the word T-shirt is in Spanish, but they just call polos, and that's their T-shirt. And so it's kind of... And it was just very, I guess the age group was real different. And then we actually got to watch some adults play baseball. They have like a baseball league. And so they would play baseball. But a lot of the kids in the orphanages speak a little bit of English. So when we went to the boys' orphanage, they were able to communicate with us a little bit more than the girls because their house parents are, I want to say, 95% American that have dedicated their lives to be the parents of these little boys. And so they're teaching them English as well because they know knowing more than one language will help them be more successful in the long run. So it was a mix of ages, but they all spoke Spanish and varying levels of English.
All right, we're going to kind of wrap it up here with Aisha.
Ms. Shore, what do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Hopefully my future husband and I will be living overseas, doing sports ministry and sports missions full time. He is a soccer player and a coach. I've played soccer my whole life, coached soccer my adult life, as well as do sports medicine. So hopefully doing sports ministry, reaching the unreached, and making God famous.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Delalo? What do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Well, hopefully traveling more, especially through and with CSMA, and just kind of doing more mission work. And I'm also looking at maybe getting back into a physical therapy program here at one of the local universities. So that'll be kind of up in the air. So I may or may not be a PT by the time, or in 5 years, so we'll see.
Okay. Very interesting. Just looking at getting out of the athletic training, so I'm a little bit more regular, huh?
Not really out of athletic training, but just something in addition to.
Do you have plans? Because a lot of times when there's athletic trainers and PTs, they want to do something bigger, you know, like work at a college or run a program at a college or a professional sport, something like that.
I've always been interested in pediatric physical therapy. So helping little kids that have been injured in something other than sports. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So, yeah.
All right. So we only have a few minutes left. So they might want you to finish this off with your last question there.
My last question?
Yeah.
Is it this one right here?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Shore, what is the number one tip for people who might want to get involved?
Step out and do it. You know, there's lots of ways to get involved, both locally and internationally. So, you know, pray about it and do it. Don't let fear hold you back. So there's lots of projects on our website. I know our project list just got posted, and we're working on even more domestic projects. We're doing a lot with FCA here locally in Texas, Oklahoma areas for sure. So there's a lot of stuff. Just get involved.
And how about you, Ms. DeLillo? What is the number one tip for people who might want to get involved?
I'm gonna go with what Ms. Diane said. It's just go. You can, even if you're scared to death, just go on that first trip, and it'll change your life. So, that's my tip.
Just go for it, huh? That'll work. All right, we're gonna.
Of course, we have to mention the people who help support us, Pasadena IEC Education Foundation, DonorsChoose.org, and Richard Gregory for help in locating guests.
All right, so I'm not sure exactly why we're having an echo in here, because I know Renato turned your speakers down. I turned our speakers down here. That's all right. Making it work. Good conversation. Anyways, as I tear stuff up, did you have something or you want me to get it?
Yeah, a couple of words of wisdom is, like Mishore said, be happy and always be grateful for what you have.
Excellent. Good choice. Sulima was a little nervous about coming up with the words of wisdom, but great choice, Sulima. All right, if you want to check us out, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. You can join us live almost every Wednesday, about 10:15 Central Standard Time. And then, or you can download it. It's really weird with that echo. I keep hearing myself about 2 seconds later. You can join in the social stream chat on Ustream, or you can do the todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast and keep Lorena from typing her name 400 times in this thing, and that way she'll have something to do.
And follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med, on Google Plus PHS Athletic Training, and on Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training.
So for Jeremy,
Lorena,
Alex,
Brianna,
Sulema,
Diane,
Marissa,
Aisha,
Edith,
Michelle.
And for all of us, that's a wrap.